That's awesome. I just want to take a moment. I just felt really led just during that incredible time of worship, just to kind of, we do this occasionally, just to kind of open the floor. And just, if you've got something that you're thankful for this morning, an answered prayer, something you just want to praise God for, we would love to celebrate that with you. And so we'll just kind of open it up. If anybody has something you just want to praise God for this morning or just give thanks to or an answered prayer, anything at all. Judy? Yes, Judy has her cousin from Georgia visiting with her this week, I guess, or for a few days, and so it was awesome to have her today. Absolutely. Praise God for family and coming in. Yes, Jennifer. Awesome. So just, yeah, praise God for that. Just reconciliation and families, you know, things happen and you know, whatever, and God can mend those bridges. And so just a praise for God putting families back together. Absolutely. Yes? Absolutely. It wasn't too long ago, and you were in a pretty bad, nasty motorcycle accident. And the fact that you're back here at church is a miracle, and the fact that your praise is I got to stand for three straight songs is absolutely a praise. Nice. Well, praise God for healing. Absolutely. Anyone else? Something you're thankful for this morning? Yes. Awesome. Just a praise for good reports from the doctor. Fearing the worst, and then tests come back, and everything's good. Praise God. Anyone else? Just something you're thankful for this morning. You just want to praise God for. Amen. Right. Yeah. Amen. Yeah, just a praise for faithfulness, just God's faithfulness to us, even when we're hurting and maybe we pull away, God just being faithful and just being there just every step of the way. Amen. What else? Well, Mark. Absolutely. Just a praise for laughter and joy that children bring. And, you know, like Mark said, maybe having the worst day in the world, but man, having a kid laugh and see that joy, your own kid especially, you know, just kind of lifts you up. And definitely a praise for that. What else? Travis. Yes. Yeah, Travis just made every husband in the room look bad. So Travis just said he's thankful for his wife, to which Brenda looked shocked. But then every other husband turned and was like, I'm thankful for you too, honey. Yeah, well, we'll get word to Natalie. Amen. You've had a good nurse. Absolutely. Lots of good spouses, lots of good wives, and good husbands in this room. Amen. Would you say so? Tammy gave to that. I'm a good starter. Anyone else? How about let's just go to God and just pray right now, and just prayer and praise, and just giving Him the service. Lord, we thank you so much for answered prayers. For being faithful to us, even when we're not faithful to you. For putting people in our lives, Lord, friends, family, spouses, that can be there to lift us up when we're hurting. For answered prayers, for things that, man, we worry about. The devil throws his anxiety and fear all over us, and you ask us to just give it to you, and you cast all that out, Lord. Lord, this morning, I thank you so much just for this community that you've put here at Project Re3, that we can truly share life together. We can walk on this journey of faith together. We can laugh together. We can cry together. We can mourn together. We can celebrate together. Lord, thank you. Well, I pray for, just the word that's about to be shared. Let it speak to me as much as it does speak to anyone else. Lord, let us hear what you have to hear this morning. Let us hear what we need to hear about our past, about the repurposing of things that we've maybe labeled failures. Lord, we just give everything over to you this morning. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen. This morning we are continuing a series that we kicked off last week, simply entitled Repurposed. And last week we started looking at some things that maybe we're in a certain area of our life or something maybe we've given up on, and God kind of comes in and can repurpose that. Last week we looked at our calling. You know, we specifically looked at biblical examples, most notably the disciples. You know, they felt like they were moving in one direction, whether they were fishermen or tax collectors or whatever it may be. And Jesus came and radically changed their life, changed their calling. And there may be certain things in our life that we're headed toward, and we assume, well, this is where I'm going to go. I guess this is it. We may like it or not like it or whatever. But if we give that future to God, we give ourselves to God, God can come in and repurpose wherever we're at, to give us that repurposed calling. This week, we're going to look at something else. We're going to look at our past. Because I think for a lot of us, we look at our past and we label things as failures. Maybe we've had failed marriages or failed money things. We've had bankruptcy or failed with addictions or whatever it may be. There's things that in our past that we are ashamed of. But we feel like because of our past, because of our failures, we are a failure. And because of our past, we don't have a future. But that's not the story of the gospel. That's not the story that we read in the scriptures. God is a God about repurposing. And this morning, I want us to understand that God can repurpose us no matter what has happened yesterday on back. God can repurpose all of that. This year, our oldest is graduating high school. Jacob's gonna be graduating, and for me, it's a bit significant. And I know I'm dating myself, but this year is my 30th anniversary of graduating high school. Right? I mean, Jacob's graduating in 2022. I graduated in 1992. And as high schools do, occasionally they have reunions. And so ours had a 20th reunion 10 years ago. I can do that math. And so they had a 20th reunion 10 years ago. And I decided, kind of reluctantly, you know what, I'll go. You know, I don't, we'll just see. I know most of the people I don't care about, but I'm going to go anyway. And so Beth and I went to this 20th reunion. And there I saw a girl that I had not seen since high school. And we were great friends. We went to elementary school together, middle school together, high school together. It seemed like we were always in the same classes, and her and I could not be more different. Her name was Sylvia. You know, I'm white, she's black. I was raised in the country. She was raised in the inner city. I mean, just as completely as night and day as you can get all the way down the line. But man, we were really close in high school, and we just seemed to always hit it off. But I had not seen her in 20 years. And so I remember getting there at the reunion. I'm kind of surveying, seeing who's there. You know, who do I want to talk to? Who do I want to avoid? And I saw Sylvia, and I was like, oh, I've got to go say hello to Sylvia. And so I went up to Sylvia, and I was like, Sylvia, how's it going? And she looked at me. She didn't know me from Adam. And she was like, she kind of looked at me, and I was like, Michael Giannopoulos. She was like, Michael Giannopoulos. She was like, what happened to your hair? So I felt really bad about myself. And I was like, well, you know, married and kids, I guess. That's what it does to you. And then she gave me this amazing compliment. She was like, I'm going to tell you. She was like, I usually don't like bald heads, but it looks good on you. I was like, all right, you know, I'm feeling really good. And then we were talking. She's like, what are you doing now? I was like, I'm a pastor. She looked at me and she said, you're a pastor? So I just had his emotions. It was like bad, good, bad. I mean, it was like, I went to counseling afterwards, you know? But I was like, yeah, I'm a pastor. I pastor a church. And she was like, you preach and everything? I was like, yeah. She was like, I did not see that coming. I was like, neither did I, honey. And But it's because I'm like, you know, I don't think I was that bad. I don't think my past was that bad. But it was bad enough that someone who knew me, right, for like the first 18 years of my life was like,
Could you say that again?
No, I'm not. Siri, watch. Someone looked at me and said, I can't believe you're doing ministry. You know? And I'm just like, man, how bad was I, right? But some of us, we think about it, we know specifically in our minds why we feel disqualified. Like, man, I know I can never be a pastor or be in ministry or go on a mission trip or lead a Bible study or sing in the band or even just tell someone about Jesus or invite them to church. Because I know who I was. I know the things that I did. No one else knows it. God knows it. Like, and we can't get over that. We've all done things that we regret. Every single one of us. We've said things that we regret. We've made bad decisions that seem to continually catch up with us. Maybe for some, they have like a sexual past. You wish you didn't do something and you did. Now you just can't get over it. It seems like you're constantly on the verge of bankruptcy. You can't, you know, manage your money or you're not good with money and all these types of things. And you're just embarrassed by this, always having to ask people to help out. Maybe for some, it's relationships, right? You don't just have one divorce. You maybe have multiple divorces. And you're like, you know what? Maybe I'm a train wreck. Maybe the problem is me. And I can't find someone who will love me forever. Maybe you look at your current family situation and you're like, man, my kids just didn't turn out the way I thought they would and the way I hoped they would. So I'm a failure as a parent. Like, what did I do wrong? Or maybe you just look at your life and this is one of the worst things we do. We compare ourselves, right? Like we compare ourselves to what people's edited lives look like on social media or what we hear about people that we went to high school with or college with or other family members. And we're like, man, look at what they're doing. I'm nowhere near that. And we feel like we just don't measure up. I love the Psalms because if there is ever a time, I think we all kind of feel like this. Sometimes we feel a little bipolar with our emotions, right? Like one minute we're praising God, the next minute we're like, why, God, why? And if you want to know, have that reassurance that you're not alone, just read the Psalms. David was all over the place. David would write one psalm just praising God, giving him glory for everything. And the very next psalm, he'd be like, why me? Why are you doing this to me? But in one of his psalms, I'm going to read this to you, Psalm 38, 4 says this. David writes, my guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. This is David. We could have all written that at some point in our lives. We've all done things we regret. We all, if we were journaling, and maybe you do journal, we have all could write down that exact same sentence. My burden, my guilt has overwhelmed me. And I just don't know if I can carry it anymore. I mean, that's our lives. And then you look and opportunities may arise and maybe you have a chance to be a mentor to someone and you think, I'm not worthy to be a mentor because look at my past. Like, they need somebody better than me coaching them up, leading them. Well, you know what? I'd love to have a good marriage, but you know what? I just don't deserve it because of my past, the way that I've treated other men or other women. Like I don't deserve a good marriage. Like, I would love to make a difference in this world. But man, if people knew what I had done, I don't think I could change anything. This morning, I want us to understand that God is in the repurposing business. And one of the things God repurposes more than anything else, and you can see this in the scripture, God is in the business of repurposing our past. The things that we've gone through, the struggles that we have, the regrets that we have, the things that haunt us in our memories, that Satan continually brings up to us. God is about repurposing those things. God does not waste pain. He does not waste your past. Whatever we've been through, whatever we've done, no matter how embarrassed or how much we regret it, God can use that. So if you're taking notes, here we go, moving past our past. Number one, your biggest sin is not bigger than God's grace. Your biggest sin is not bigger than God's grace. But Mike, you don't understand. I feel guilty. You're right. You probably do feel guilty. I feel guilty. But there's a big difference in guilt and conviction. Guilt is something that the enemy wants to heap on us. Guilt is that thing that keeps reminding us of what we've done, of what we said, of how we acted. Guilt is always there because that is one of the weapons of the enemy. But God offers conviction, and there's a big difference. Guilt haunts us. Guilt shames us. Guilt wants to keep us down. Conviction says, oh, I messed up. I need to make amends, and I need to turn my life around. Those are big, big different things. Conviction should be a one-time event. I feel convicted. God, I'm sorry. I'm turning it around. You move on. Guilt is that thing that Satan wants to keep with us. We know in the book of 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. A great example is this, and I don't know if these things are still around. I imagine maybe they are. I haven't seen one in about 40 years, but I remember I had one as a kid, an Etch-a-Sketch. You know what? Are they still around? I don't even know if they're still. Yeah, Tanner's like, I got one right now. Yeah, and so like Etch-a-Sketch. You know, and that's like the little magnetic stuff, and you're kind of doodling, and you're moving the knobs, and you're making something. We were all, if you had one as a kid, you remember you would work for like an hour on this thing, like building. It took you an hour to like do a house. I don't know. You know, you're like doing something, and then inevitably, your sibling would come by and just like elbow you and mess the whole thing up, right? And then after you punched them, then you would take it, and what would you do with your Etch-a-Sketch? You would start shaking it. You'd shake it up, erase it, let's start doing it again. Man, I can't read that verse, 1 John 1:9, and not think God is all about the Etch-a-Sketch, right? Like he wants us to be able, he sees this thing that we feel like we've messed up. And God's like, oh no, we're going to shake that off. We're going to wipe that clean. We're going to erase that. Now let's start building something new. That is 1 John 1:9. God forgives you. We have to be willing to forgive ourselves. We have to be willing to accept the fact that God wants to wipe all this clean, that God wants us to be able to move forward and not just be shackled and chained down to our past. Jeremiah says this in 31:34. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. And that's a message from the Lord to us. I will forgive your wickedness and I'm going to forget it and I'm not going to remember it anymore. The slate is clean. It's been wiped off. Let's start focusing on your future. So first thing, moving past our past, your biggest sins are not too big for God's grace. Number two, you are not what you've done. You are who God says you are. You are not what you've done. You're exactly who God says you are. The thing about Satan is he tries to personalize our failures, right? Like we mess up and all of a sudden we feel like what we have done in an area we have failed in, all of a sudden we are a failure. And we know this because we say things like, I'm bad. I'm unlovable. I'm used goods. I'm a failure. I'm unworthy. We take the things that we've done, the events that we've made, the sins that we've committed in our lives, and all of a sudden they become our labels. But in 2 Corinthians 5, it says, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and the new life has begun. Understand that failure is an event, never a person. We may fail. We may screw up. But that is not to be personified in our own lives. We screwed up in an event. We made a mistake. We may have sinned. But you know what? That doesn't define who we are. Just because you have failed does not mean that you are a failure. But see, Satan whispers in our ear, you know what? You're a divorcee. You're a financial failure. You're an addict. But God says, I am a child of God. I am forgiven. I am new. I am an overcomer. You are not what you did. You are who God says you are. Number three, you can't change your past, but Christ can change your future. We can't go back. There's not a time machine. This isn't Back to the Future. We don't have a DeLorean. Like, we can't go back and change time. But we can always move forward and change our future. I want you to understand this. Every saint has a past, right? And every sinner has a future. That's just the way it is. There is no one on this earth that is perfect right now. Every saint, no matter who you think is the best of the best, the greatest of the greatest, the closest to God person that you know, everybody has a past. And every single one of us has a future. Philippians 3. I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed to me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I have focused on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and to receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. This word, forgetting. When you look it up in the Greek, here's the definition. To treat with thoughtless inattention. To banish from one's thoughts. To willfully neglect. To disregard on purpose. To leave behind intentionally. To cease remembering. Paul's saying, forget it, right? Like, don't bring it up anymore. Put it in the past. Let it go. Think about it in our own lives. Like, somebody does something to us, and a friend, a family member, whatever it is, and they come and they own it, and they're like, man, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done this. I apologize. And we're like, man, don't worry about it. Let's move on. And then what if the next day they call you up again? Hey, look, I'm sorry. And you're like, I know, I told you to forget it. And then the next day they call you up. I'm sorry. I can't. You're like, just let it go, right? Like, and then by day four, you're not answering their phone call. Because it's like, I told them to let them go. I am giving them that freedom. Like it's clean. We're good. Like, we're cool. Everything is fine. But we just keep on and on and on. We know how irritating that would be to us. God's like, I am letting it go. I've let it go. Why can't you let it go? Forgetting. Do not remember. Do not keep bringing it up. Proverbs said, for though the righteous man falls seven times, he rises again. God is in the rising business. He's in the repurposing business. We may fall seven times or 70 times seven. But you know what? God is about rising us up. He's about lifting us to new levels. He's about giving us a future. Moses murdered a man. Led the people to the promised land. David committed adultery. Wrote the Psalms. Best king Israel ever had. Peter denied Christ. Jesus built his church on Peter as the rock. Or even something a little bit maybe closer to us, right? I mean, those are like big pillars of people. What about Zacchaeus, right? He stole from people. Jesus said, I want to come have dinner with you. It's there. We're going to fall. We're going to mess up. But Jesus gives us a future. God is about repurposing our past and making us new. Number four, God will always give you a new purpose. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, God will always give you a new purpose. I just mentioned Peter, right? And we talked about Peter last week too, kind of an uneducated fisherman. You know, he started going through rabbi school, and obviously he didn't make the cut, and so he got moved on to go do what you got to do. Go do your father's business. Go fish. So essentially he was like he dropped out of school because he couldn't cut it. So here you have Peter, who is uneducated, unstable, unpredictable. God took him from a fisherman to a fisher of men. He gave him a new purpose. Matthew 16, Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I will tell you, Peter, and on this rock, on you, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Jesus not only gave him a new purpose, he gave him a new name. He said, you are who I'm going to build my rock on. Peter was not born a rock. He died a rock. It is not where we start, right? It's not about our past. It's not about those things. It's about where we're going to end up. What is God going to do from this point forward? The past is the past. Peter was who he was. And Jesus says, starting right now, you're my rock. I am building my church on you. Out of your greatest weakness, my greatest strength will show through. One of the things, you know, we built this whole community here at Project Re3 under the scripture of Isaiah 58. And for those of you who need a refresher, you know, Isaiah 58, it starts off the first couple of verses. It's kind of Isaiah bashing the church, you know, like, yeah, you're coming to church, but you're coming for all the right reasons. You're only going to God because you want things. And then it goes into like several verses of this is what God wants. And it goes into talking about feeding the hungry, taking care of the orphans and the widows, clothing the naked, doing all of these things. And that's what we want to do, right? But then you get down to around verse 11. And Isaiah writes, out of the rubble of past lives, you will build something new. Out of the rubble of past lives, you will build something new. We all have rubble, don't we? Every single one of us. Financial rubble, relationship rubble, addiction rubble. And for a lot of us, God is making something new. Maybe our purpose is to take that newness and share it with somebody whose life is in rubble. Maybe it's not about being ashamed of our past, but taking what we've done, what we've been addicted to, what our failures have been, and helping someone else that's going through the exact same thing. Maybe the building something new isn't just for you. Maybe it's for someone else. Maybe that is your purpose. If you're an addict, maybe you're here to help other people overcome their addictions. If you're unhealthy, now all of a sudden you are healthy. Maybe you're here to help other people get healthy financially. I am a big Dave Ramsey guy. I love Dave Ramsey. We've done some Financial Peace Universities at here and at other churches I've been at. Dave Ramsey wasn't always this like money guru. He will tell you. He went bankrupt twice, right? Like he was terrible with money. He lost all his money. He had a lot of money and lost it. Had a lot of money and lost it. And through that, he wanted to see other people not make those mistakes. He took the rubble of his past life and he's making something new. And he's owning it. And God has done some remarkable things to that man's ministry. What can God do through your rubble? What can he do through you? Through the things that you want to hide, your weaknesses, what can God do to make that a strength? And lastly, not only will God give you a new purpose, he will give you a new future. God will give you a new future. Jeremiah 29:11, man, we've heard this a million times. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. I'm going to tell you two of my most hated words. And I get all over my kids every time they say these two words. Always and never. Always and never. Always and never are the enemy of the future. Because we've been there, right? Like we've always said things like, well, I'm always going to have a bad marriage. I'm never going to measure up. I'm always screwing up. Things never work out. You know what we're doing? We're taking like moments in time. We're taking like individual failures or individual mistakes or individual sins, and we're painting our entire life with that. Well, you know what? He broke up with me. I'm never going to find Mr. Right or Mrs. Right. Never. You know? And then 3 weeks later, we're dating somebody else. You know? I mean, it's how it works. Or you know what? I'm never going to be able to manage my money. And then a year later, because you've worked hard, you've been diligent, you're out of debt. And all of a sudden, now you're saving money. I'm always behind. I'm always messing up. See, I hate those two words, always and never. Because we take little small moments of our time, a tiny, tiny little wedge of our life, and we just paint the whole thing with those two ugly words. Always and never will always derail your future so that you will never have one, right? That's the only thing that always and never will do. Always and never are enemies of the future. There's this fascinating story in the Old Testament, as you know, Joshua's trying to get his people into the promised land, and he sends in some spies. And while the spies are there, they're on the run, they're about to get caught, and they go into this house, and this house is owned by a lady by the name of Rahab. Rahab is mentioned 8 times in the Bible. 6 of those 8 times, Rahab is mentioned by her profession. Rahab the prostitute. 6 out of 8 times, that's what she's known as, right? Would you like to be labeled by your failure? Hey, this is Mike, the whatever. You know, like, no, we don't want that. But that was her, and she owned it. So these spies come in, and they're worried, and they don't know what's going to happen. And Rahab's like, look, let me help you guys. Like, I've heard about your God. You're right. Like, so just climb out this window, go out this backside, and you'll be safe. They jet. People show up. Rahab's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Life goes on. When they finally come in and take over this promised land, her life was spared because she was faithful to God. She was embarrassed about her past. She had a past. She was labeled by her past. But she believed that there was a God that could move her past into a future. She didn't know what that future was going to be. So we read later in the scriptures, Rahab actually marries a man named Salmon. And them together, husband and wife, had a great, 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 great grandson whose name was Jesus. How about that? You want to talk about a repurposed future? That's her. Do you think when she was selling her body, when she was being with multiple men throughout the week, when she was labeled as Rahab the prostitute, do you think it ever dawned on her that the Savior of the world would come from her lineage? Never. No. But you know what? She didn't label her life with always and never. She didn't say, I'm always going to be a prostitute. God will never be able to use me. She obviously did not cling to those two words. She obviously understood that even though I don't understand what God's going to do, I believe he can repurpose me. I believe that he can bring people into my life that will change the trajectory of my life. That God has a future. He has a plan for me. He has a purpose for me. I am not my failure. I am not what I've done. I am a child of God. I am an adopted son and daughter of the Most High God. She understood that God is in the repurposing business. Philippians 3 again. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Guys, it's time we forget. It's time we let it go. It's time we move forward, accepting a future and a purpose that we may not understand right now, but we know God has this. Moving forward. That's what we're called to do. Not to live in the past, not to let the past dictate who we are today, unless our past is about us changing someone's life, taking the rubble of a past life and making something new. That's the only thing a past is good for. Other than that, don't be slaves to your past. Don't be slaves to your failure. Believe that God is the God that repurposes. You have no idea what he can do with your future. Amen? Let's pray. God, we just come before you right now. We give you our everything. We give you our past. We give you our present. Whatever our struggles have been, whatever our sins have been, whatever our mistakes have been, the things that keep us up at night, the things that cause us depression, the things that cause us anxiety, the things that cause us fear, the things that cause us regret, remorse, maybe even self-hate. God, we give all of that to you. And we trust that you are still the God of David, the God of Moses, the God of Peter, the God of Jeremiah, the God of Rahab, that you're still the same God today. That you have a purpose and a future for each and every one of us. You are calling us to that. But in order for us to move forward, we have got to let go of our past. We are not our failed marriages. We are not our failed bankruptcies. We are not our old addictions. We are made new. We are new creations. You are the center. You are our everything. God, this morning, I just pray if there's anyone in here that feels the weight and the burden of their past, if there's anyone at all that just feels the heaviness of the chains of addictions or regrets, that God, you remove them this morning. Take them away. Destroy those chains. Lift us up and give us that peace. Letting us know, God, our faithfulness will have a step forward. And you are faithful and just to forgive us and to give us a future and a purpose. Thank you for being a God that repurposes. Thank you for being a God that repurposes our calling and repurposes our past. And it's in your holy name that we pray these things. Amen. Well, guys, I pray that you just have an absolutely incredible Sunday. Again, the children's event that was going to happen this afternoon is going to be postponed for a few weeks. This week, we hope to be getting out information about our big Easter event that we're going to try to do, around Easter. And so you'll be hearing about that. Also, again, if you're not plugged into a small group, if you want to get involved in missions, whether it's local or wherever, be sure to sign up and get our newsletter. And if there's anything at all that catches your eye, just contact the church office. And man, we'd love to get you involved. And so other than that, just have an incredibly blessed day. Thanks for being here this morning, and we'll see you back real soon. Thanks.